Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. If you haven't subscribed to our show yet, go to iTunes, subscribe to the Freedom Report, or subscribe to us on the Android app Stitcher if you don't have an Apple device. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes to help us spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. Now, enjoy the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Today is Wednesday, July the 29th, and we are broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia for one of the last times, not the last time, but probably one of the last times for a while. I'm going to be moving from Alexandria, Virginia to my hometown of Kansas City, Missouri, back across the Mississippi, way out west, through the St. Louis Arch, back to my homeland, getting back to my roots. I've had enough of living between New York and D.C. Let me tell you what, I've been gone for 11 years, living in the squalor and despair of New York City and Washington, D.C. No, it's been fantastic, and I've made a lot of friends and great careers in television, and I've worked in film and all of that. And my career isn't ending. The Libertarian Republic goes on, and Stonegate will continue to provide consulting services to all sorts of people who are interested in our ideas of economic freedom. But I just decided that since I can do this job from anywhere, I might as well spend a little bit of extra time at home with my family, with my nephew, with my dad. And my dad's here. He's passed out in the bed while I'm doing my show this morning. So we're going to be driving back to Missouri across country. So if you're in Ohio or Illinois or St. Louis or any of those areas, West Virginia, where I'm going to be driving through, and you wanted to say hello, maybe meet up for coffee or something on the way, reach out to me, and maybe we'll be able to meet up as I drive across country to make my way back to Missouri. Anyways, so I wanted to talk today, speaking of getting back to my roots, this story today came across my desk, and the internet is exploding with emotions and feelings, all the feelings, and people are crying and sad and feeling all sorts of hatred towards a Minnesota dentist who shot a lion. It appears that he was trophy hunting for a lion named Cecil. And everybody's mad because lions are cute and people don't understand conservation. And so there's never going to be a reasonable, intelligent discussion about a topic like this unless you're listening to my show, which of course you are. So congratulations. You're one of the few. The proud, the brave, the libertarians, the open-minded ones. So, and I even see a lot of libertarians getting caught up in this trap about hunting. So maybe some of you guys need to be convinced. We're going to be talking about this. Cecil the Lion's Killer revealed as an American dentist. This is from the Telegraph. He's a Minnesota father of two. He's the hunter who shot dead one of Zimbabwe's most beloved lions. And he was a famous creature, and he was in one of Zimbabwe's national parks. And he was killed by an American hunter who shot him with a bow and arrow. Walter James Palmer, a dentist from Minnesota, is believed to have paid £35,000, which is the British currency, to shoot and kill the much-loved lion with a bow and arrow. Now, that's pretty badass. I'm sorry. I don't care if you think that this was some kind of cowardly thing to do, but some of the tactics that he used were cowardly, but on its face, going hunting for a lion with a bow and arrow, I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound anything short of badass to me. So let's continue on and break this down and find out what really went wrong. The animal was shot on the 1st of July in Hwenge National Park. Hwenge. Two independent sources have confirmed the hunter's identity to the paper, which also has also seen a copy of the relevant hunting permit. Conservation groups in Zimbabwe reacted angrily to the news that the 13-year-old animal had been killed, partly because the lion was known to visitors and seemingly enjoyed human contact, and partly because of the way in which he was killed. He was lured out of the national park and shot, which, if that's true, should definitely be restricted. He never bothered anybody, said Johnny Rodriguez, the head of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. He was one of the most beautiful animals to look at. In a statement, Mr. Palmer, who is under threat, he had to shut down his business, he said that he did not know that the lion he killed was a local favorite, which, you know, let's take it on its face that maybe he was telling the truth. In early July, I was in Zimbabwe on a bow hunting trip for big game. I hired several professional guides, and they secured all proper permits. To my knowledge, everything about this trip was legal and properly handled and conducted, he said. I had no idea that the lion I took was a known local favorite. I relied on the expertise and of my local professional guides to ensure a legal hunt. So they didn't know that this was one of the collared animals that was in the national park. That's what he's saying, of course. But they're saying that he and his hunters lure the animal out of a national park. And, you know, who knows what the on the ground is like there, except for the professionals that this guy hired. I mean, people do trophy hunts all the time, and you sort of have to trust your local guides. You know, Zimbabwe, it is legal to hunt lions in Zimbabwe, by the way, as long as you get the proper permits. The dentist says, I have not been contacted by authorities in Zimbabwe or the U.S. about the situation, but will assist them in any inquiries they may have. Again, I deeply regret that my pursuit of an activity I love and practice responsibly and legally resulted in the taking of this lion. During the hunt, which the organizers later admitted was badly carried out, it was alleged that Cecil was lured out at night, about a half mile out of the national park using bait, and then shot with a bow and arrow. The next day, he was found wounded by the hunters and killed before being beheaded and skinned. Animals cannot be killed within the confines of the park. The hunters then removed his collar, further contravening park rules. So it sounds like they were trying to cover it up because they realized they had screwed up. The professional hunter, Theo Bronker, said he reported the mistake to the Parks and Wildlife Management Authority the following day and is now being investigated. The landowner bordering the national park has been charged along with Mr. Bronkhorst. Interesting. On Tuesday, Zimbabwe National Parks issued a statement confirming the charges. Theo Bronkhorst, a professional hunter with Bushman Safaris, is facing criminal charges for allegedly killing a collared lion on Antoinette Farm in Gwaye Conservancy, Hwenge District, on the 1st of July, the statement said. All persons implicated in this case are due to appear in court facing poaching charges. Both the professional hunter and landowner had no permit or quota to justify the offtake of the lion and therefore are liable for the illegal hunt. Mr. Bronkhorst, who will appear at Hwenge Magistrates Court on Wednesday, said he was unaware of Cecil's fame. It was a magnificent mature lion. We did not know it was a well-known lion. I had a license for my client to shoot a lion with the bow and arrow in the area where it was shot. Mr. Rodriguez said authorities in Zimbabwe were troubled by the events. There's considerable embarrassment about this. The Americans have banned the import of elephant trophies, he said. We believe the head and pelt are still in Bulawayo. They should be charged with poaching, he said. If you're a local and you kill an animal without a license, you get between 2 and 5 years in prison. Mr. Palmer, the client, describes himself as coming from North Dakota and having a, quote, unique talent for creating dazzling smiles. They're talking about his dental practice here. He has a well-documented fondness for shooting wild animals around the globe, and there's some pictures here from the Telegraph of the dentist, and he's like all muscly armed and carrying an enormous leopard that he shot in Zimbabwe in 2010. There's a professional hunter named Giuseppe Carrizosa. He's a professional hunter based in Madrid, and he apparently has hunted with him before. He's an expert shot. And yeah, this guy's got pictures of him with elk and with bighorn. And listen to this. So the guy's shot desert bighorn sheep. And every year they raise more than $200,000 to shoot desert bighorn sheep. $200,000, and that money gets used to conserve the species. That money goes right back into those national parks. Listen to this. New York Times detailed one of Mr. Palmer's hunts, and in 2009, they actually described this guy, he's a pretty famous hunter, as capable of skewering a playing card from 100 yards with his compound bow. The paper said that having learned to shoot at the age of 5, he paid $45,000 at an auction for the right to shoot an elk in 2009. And it's a sale that's promoted as financing preservation of the elk habitat. So you guys have to understand that, like, the guy sounds like he was acting in good faith. Now, there are some issues with his character that has been called into question. Of course, they're going to do that because people are demonizing him. But I went to heavy.com, which had 5 fast facts that you need to know about Walter Palmer. And the first one was about how he took the lion, which he skinned it and beheaded it. And then the second was that they tried to destroy the collar. They probably were like, oh crap, we shot the wrong lion. And then the third was that he actually faced prison time in 2008, which he didn't get, for lying about it to a federal agent about killing of a bear. So this is a big deal, but, and this sort of like calls him into question, but apparently he was in trouble because he admitted making a false statement to a federal agent when he was hunting a black bear. And it says that he shot a black bear about 40 miles outside the zone where he was licensed to hunt it. And he then lied to an agent saying that he shot it in the correct zone, but he didn't. So he had to pay $2,900. So that definitely puts him in sort of question, his moral character into question. But the guy's getting death threats wrongly on social media. Like, he's being targeted by these animal rights activists like PETA and these psychopaths who don't understand how conservation works. And I've read this. I've actually done this debate before. We've talked about this on a podcast before, because there was the female hunter, the young girl who was pictured hunting all of these wild animals, that was also getting death threats and stuff. And most people just don't understand how economics works, and they think that their feelings and their emotions should dictate how we deal with these animals. But I'm going to be a heartless libertarian here and tell you that if you really do feel that these animals should be protected, then you should support responsible hunting practices of these animals. Because a lot of times, and this isn't true in Cecil's case, but a lot of times these animals, when they are hunted, they're taken. It's usually when they have peaked, they're no longer a breeding capacity, and they're and killing one of the male lions can make it so that younger lions can come in and the population gets stronger, because you don't have that dominant male in the pride bullying out all of the other male lions, young male lions. And you get stronger lions moving their way up. And they actually did mention that in the article that I read from the Telegraph. And because one of the important parts here is that Cecil's kids are probably going to be killed by a competing male lion, because Cecil's cubs are his. And so now there's going to be a pack domination, a pride domination battle, which, you know, happens all the time in the wild. But people are just upset because they see humans as interfering with the natural beauty. You know, humans are natural too. You know, humans are actually from this planet. You know, we are a species on this planet, and we are omnivorous animals. So that means that in order for us to survive, we need to kill. That means we need to kill things to eat. Now, the separation, of course, people would say, well, you're not going to eat a lion. Well, you know, nobody likes cat meat, right? So obviously you're not going to create a lion farm and sell out lion meat to bring up preservation. But I'm going to bring up this story to you because it's an example of what we call free market environmentalism, in a sense, because this was a tale about a man named Sir Anthony Fisher. And Sir Anthony Fisher had a turtle farm in the Cayman Islands. And the sea turtle, remember back in the, I think it was the 80s, I think I was a little boy, I remember, they were freaking out about the endangered sea turtle. Oh, the sea turtles, they're dying. Humans are killing sea turtles, and they're harvesting them, and they are eating them, and they are turning their shells into jewelry, and they are doing all kinds of evil things, like drinking soda cans, and those soda cans are then getting wrapped around the sea turtles, and oh my God, give $100,000 to the people for the ethical treatment of animals. Give $100,000 to PETA to stop this inhumane treatment of a non-human animal. Yeah. So when you say that treatment of an animal is inhumane, just please understand the irony there, because, you know, obviously these animals aren't humans. So unless you believe in animal human rights, in which case, you know, I don't really know. I mean, you've got to be some kind of crazy person to want to assign human rights to animal rights. I'm not saying that animals should be tortured or anything like that, but certainly they should be allowed to be hunted, and hunted even for trophies. Especially for trophies, because of the large amount of money that is raised to conserve the animals. Again, proper culling of a population does maintain healthy population sizes. And perhaps we need to have a culling of environmentalist populations. So maybe you'll be healthier. I'm just kidding, by the way. Okay, so moving on. Let's talk about Sir Anthony Fisher. This is a really interesting little blog that I read about a man who knew Sir Anthony Fisher. And he told about Sir Anthony Fisher's turtle farm, which is a really cool little story. He said, listen, blah, 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 blah. The most seductive aspect of the various aquaculture ventures we discussed with Sir Anthony was not their potential profitability, but their innovative idealism. To us, sea farming was a way to feed a world in danger of overpopulation and starvation. A way to provide massive amounts of cheap, high-quality protein well beyond the overstretched capabilities of dirt farmers. Sir Anthony was not just trying to turn a buck with his green sea turtle farm. He was saving an endangered species. A portion of all turtle hatchlings at the farm were raised until able to fend for themselves, then released into the wild. Sir Anthony was actually increasing wild turtle populations, saving the green sea turtle. Ironically, the farm, which was in the Cayman Islands, was done in by radical environmentalists who banned the sale of all green sea turtle products, regardless of origin, and refused to listen to reason. Sir Anthony's turtle farm would have been successful, but for this. This is about free market environmentalism. And this, when the green sea turtle was becoming an endangered species, Sir Anthony Fisher opened up a turtle farm, and he actually made turtle soup. He had turtle meat. He took the shells and made beautiful jewelry with the shells, and this was free market. Now remember, here's the deal. There's no problem. Nobody's worried about cows and chickens going extinct, right? No, but the thing is that you can own cows, you can own chickens. You know, where people can protect their private property, that's where you'll see animals flourishing. Now, in these national parks, for example, where Cecil the lion lived, he was a protected animal, which, you know, that's perfectly within the, you know, the people of Zimbabwe's rights to set up a national preserve and to have, you know, lions, just like we have lions in parks here in the United States. Of course, we don't let them roam around quite so much, but it's perfectly reasonable for them to, you know, cordon off certain lions and maintain the population. I think that, you know, the free market way is better to maintain populations of animals. But if you want to have a nature preserve and protect lions, you know, you should certainly have the right to do that. But, the way that he took this, that this lion was taken, which it appears that, you know, he was spotlighted, that they lured him out of the park, that they spotlighted him, and that, which spotlighting, if you don't know, is basically taking a big, you know, exactly what it is. It's taking a big light and shining it on the animal so that the animal will sort of be blinded, and then he shot it with an arrow. Now, again, this sounds cowardly, but again, I mean, would you, if I gave you a bow and arrow and put you out, you know, in a nature preserve somewhere or some guy's estate in Zimbabwe, would, I mean, do you think, I mean, it's cowardly, really? I mean, come on. Honestly, like, maybe he was in the safety of a truck. Maybe they had a rifle on backup, but I sure as hell would not want to go lion hunting with a bow and arrow. So, I mean, call them whatever you want, but cowardly, probably not cowardly. I mean, to me, it sounds as if, like, people really just, his name was Cecil the Lion, and he was cute, so people, and the picture of, you know, him being dead is sort of like, you know, just sad. Like, it just makes people like, oh, goodness gracious, oh, they killed a cute animal. Yeah, you know, I have an emotional, visceral reaction to things like that, too. Like, when I first see an animal being killed, like, I definitely empathize as well. But the problem is, just like every other problem we have in politics, people allow emotion to override common sense. So if you're going to say you care about animals, I mean, sorry, you need to go one of two ways. You either need to, like, go full-blown animal crazy and just join the idiot minions at PETA and the Animal Liberation Front and go ahead and just, you know, be an animal terrorist, because that's what leftists do. Or you can understand how conservation works and support proper conservation techniques. Now, in this simple case, it sounds as if proper conservation techniques were not applied, And so he probably deserves to pay a fine or something like that to conserve more animals and to replace the fee, to replace what he took. Doesn't deserve to be killed, that's for sure. Again, they're just animals, okay? They're just animals, and they're not humans. So it's not, it's only a crime insofar that he, you know, needs to pay restitution, not that he needs to like be going to prison for years and years or anything like that. He's not an evil man. Okay. Killing an animal is not inherently an evil act. All right. If that were the case, well then please just stop eating meat. All right. You guys really need to understand that the way that you should conserve things, it's unrealistic, it seems, to start a lion farm, okay? There's not going to be a demand for lion meat. There may be a demand for lion pelts. There may be some other. I'm not going to tell some capitalists not to do it, and probably we should encourage a lion farm. You know, private ownership of lions would probably be a good thing. It may not be feasible, right? Sir Anthony Fisher's turtle farm was feasible, but the environmentalists shut him down. Okay, because if the government isn't saving these animals, then nobody will, right? Like that's really what's at the base of this is that idiot leftards think that the only way to save animals is to have the government put them in nature preserves. Okay, when there's no profit incentive at all to maintain an animal, you're never going to maintain the species. They're going to end up like the panda bears. You know what I mean? They're just going to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle until there's only a few left, and there's going to be the extinction of the population. And there is such a thing as overhunting. Like, I don't want to be, totally one-sided on this. You have to understand that, like, some species can be hunted into extinction. Certainly, the American buffalo was almost hunted into extinction. But the proper way to do this is to have this sort of conservation fee set up so that if you do hunt these animals, then you pay to replace them. And that to me seems feasible. It's just like, let's talk about canned hunts, for example. People are like, oh, canned hunts, that's BS. Well, they are and they aren't. You know, I used to do canned hunts when I was a kid, and I loved canned hunts. I mean, I want to do more when I get back to Missouri, actually. But you can go hunting for quail and chukar, which a chukar is a type of bird. But they're great game birds, and they're also delicious. So what you do is you go and you actually pay for the birds. And they toss the birds out in the fields, and you get your bird dogs and your shotguns, and you like go out in the morning, and it's a great trip to go with a bunch of guys. And they go out and they populate all the fields with quail and chukar, and you do these, and then you go out with your buddies and you have the bird dogs point the birds, and then you shoot them and you take all your birds, and then you eat them at the end of the day. Now, listen, you don't catch all the birds. A lot of them get away, and you're actually helping to restock the population that way. But that's sort of a canned hunt, right? Because there's no guarantee that there's going to be like quail and birds during the day. So you go out and you kind of stock the fields and hope that you're going to catch some of them that day, which you usually do. And that's a canned hunt. But what this guy did with the animal, with the Cecil, with lion, sounds like it wasn't quite a canned hunt, of course, because that would mean that you'd bring the lion to the place and then you'd go out and hunt it. But what this was it was a luring off of a nature preserve. And remember, the guy is innocent until proven guilty. So we don't know. It's perfectly reasonable that he could have made a mistake and that they didn't lure the animal out of the nature preserve, that he was hunting on a private hunter's farm near the preserve. Now, the guy who owned the farm near the preserve, he probably should have known better. But again, it's night. I mean, they had a spotlight on it. Could they not see the GPS collar? We don't know, but there's a presumption of innocence here. And people who are just anti-hunter, they tend to be anti-gun as well. But again, giraffes, zebras, lions, people have emotional attachment to these animals because they see them in Disney movies. So they feel some sort of sentimentality. They anthropomorphize these animals, which is ridiculous. You know, they're not humans, they're animals, and they don't have rights. So again, if you want to protect them, you should look at potential ways for the market to handle these problems and incentivize good people to be able to contribute back to conserve. Because here's the thing, if you make it illegal to hunt these animals at all whatsoever across the board, you're just gonna have poachers. And poachers do not contribute to the environment. They do not contribute to conservation. They just steal and take, right? So if you push, if you make it illegal, you're only going to make the black market stronger, just like you see with anything else. So again, please do some research on this. Again, this hunt is not a perfect example of how free market environmentalism should work, but Sir Anthony Fisher is a great story. You guys should research more about him and his turtle farm. There's not a lot of good resources out there, unfortunately. Maybe I should do a video or something so that we can get the word out a little bit more. But and I hope you enjoy this podcast. If you did, subscribe on iTunes or Android Stitcher. If you're a big fan of the Libertarian Republic and you've been reading us for a while, and maybe let's say you don't like all of the ads that are on our site and the pop-ups, we've actually created a new subscription service for people who want to not only get rid of ads, but also help us to expand our business. Because, you know, Facebook, social media, Twitter, all these platforms, we're sort of at their mercy right now, because that's how we get all of our revenue, is through traffic from the social networks. And I'm trying to build an email list. That's very difficult, especially when you're kind of like an outsider guy like me. I don't have like big, huge money people like coming in and sort of like, you know, saying, hey, here's a list of 100,000 people for that you can have for free. I'm basically doing this on my own with very little support. Although there is some good news, actually. There are some money people coming in to do a project with me and Stonegate, which I'll be announcing on the first of the month, upcoming month in August, which should be very exciting for you guys. And we'll look at, so check the Libertarian Republic for that. There's going to be a big announcement with a super PAC that I'll be working with. And that will be exciting, because it's going to be something that you all can benefit from directly. And if you're big fans of the Libertarian Republic, do me a favor, subscribe, $5 a month for our service that will give you ad-free TLR, and you're going to be contributing to a good cause so that I can hire more writers. Also, hey, here's another announcement, since you stuck to the end of the show. I'll give you an exciting bit of news, and you'll hear this first, since you're a loyal listener. But we've got a new writer. Unfortunately, we lost Laura Myers. Oh, not for good. Poor Laura. I know she's going to be sad because she had to leave. She went back to Kansas to finish off school. I know you guys love Laura, and certainly I do too. I wish that she would come back. But we'll see. Hopefully she's going to be writing a bit during the year. But we've got a new writer coming in. This is exciting. And you guys have probably heard of her. She's from Canada. Her name is Lauren Southern. And if she's the one, if you don't know that name, Lauren Southern, then you'll soon know it. First of all, you'll soon know it because you'll be seeing her at the Libertarian Republic. And also, you're going to know her name because you should know her name because she's the one who went to the slut walk in Canada and like videotaped herself being berated by the feminists and sort of calling them out on their BS. So Lauren Southern, check her out. She's awesome. She's going to be writing for us. We've got a new writer, and we're also looking for a new writer. So if you guys are out there and you want to write for the Libertarian Republic and you think you've got the right stuff, do me a favor, send me an email. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, click on the Contact Us tab, send us your best stuff, tell us about yourself and why you should work better. And thanks very much for reaching out. Don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.